Hey, you guys, what's going on? Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
So there are people here, right?
Yeah,
nobody's talking. Usually if somebody comes on and goes first.
They're still
nobody
coming.
Nobody did that. Yeah, how am I supposed to know anybody's in
there? They're coming in.
Okay, that's good.
Unless
my weird chat thing isn't working, I don't really know. You don't have any chat either, okay.
Yeah, I have chat.
No, I mean...
Yeah, they're talking.
Oh, okay.
Tammy just said, what's up?
Oh, I'm not seeing it on mine. I wonder why.
Yeah, I see it.
I started having trouble yesterday. There it goes. Okay, I just needed to, re...
All right.
Yeah, okay, so that's all
what
it was.
Look?
She's sleeping.
No, she's looking at me, not you.
Oh, okay. You okay? Well, she was sleeping. Okay. You probably woke her up when you slammed the door.
Yeah. Talking. She's like, another show. Why are you talking to those lights?
Stop talking to the
lights.
We're
talking to the lights. She's yawning. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, okay, they're coming in.
It's all right, Pookie.
All right, so someone called Gone Baby Gone. We think Louis sent maybe.
I'm pretty sure Louis sent us. It was a long time ago, and as I said, if you did send us movies a long time ago, and we didn't review them. I'm really sorry about that, but because, like I said, we had a pile, and we watched some of them, and then some of them got misplaced or put back or something, and then we moved, everything got rearranged.
I'm going through that big pile though, and seeing ones like I don't remember seeing this, and I'm pulling them out.
Yeah, so we have like another pile we're going where we keep going through there and like picking out the ones we haven't. So this was one that we got sent a very long time ago. I think Louis sent it, but I'm not entirely positive. I'm like 90% positive. And it was a long time ago, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to see that. And then like we never got around to watching it, but I finally watched it last night. And this was actually a pretty fucking decent movie.
I thought it was solid, but it's not my kind of movie. It's a little serious.
Kind of, it's a mystery. They call it a neo-noir, which I guess it kind of is. This was actually the directorial debut, the feature-length directorial debut of Mr. Ben Affleck.
Okay.
So this came out in 2007, so it's a little bit older than I thought it was, because I couldn't remember what year this was, and I was like, oh, this must be 2000s when I saw everybody's cell phones.
Cell phones had antennas on them.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they had antennas, but they still had flip phones.
Flip phones, and they had little antennas.
Oh, did they? I didn't notice that. Yeah. So it's 2007. So this is based on a novel, which was a big bestseller, I think, by Dennis Lehane. Dennis Lehane also wrote Mystic River, which was also made into a movie. I think Clint Eastwood directed that one. I haven't seen it. I think it won a bunch of Oscars, even though I think in hindsight, a lot of people didn't really like it. This one got a lot of praise, and it got one Oscar nomination. Amy Ryan, who played kind of the dirtbag mom, she got nominated for Best Supporting Actors for this, and rightfully so. But I mean, Ben Affleck, I kind of feel like this was a really solid directorial debut. It's not visually like a lot to look at. It's pretty workmanlike in that regard, but I think he got a lot out of the actors, and I think that he did a really good job distilling. He got a really good sense of place. I mean, both him and Casey Affleck, his brother, who stars in this movie, are from Boston. They're kind of from this area, so they're very familiar with this environment.
Yeah, I live there. They got the accents down.
And they're really... Yeah. Well, that's because most of the people in this movie are from there.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the background actors, like the people in the bars that they talk to and stuff, are locals that they got to be in the movie because he wanted that sort of, like, true-to-life type of shit. So... I don't know this. Okay, so this movie came out in 2007, so I'm not entirely sure if I want to spoil it, but then the thing about it is that you can't really, you kind of have to spoil it a little bit to talk about the moral quandary that's kind of at the heart of this movie, which I think is the thing that makes it the most interesting. And as I said, I think this is a really interesting movie for him to start with, because this is one that really kind of leaves you, it's one of those movies like at the end it kind of leaves you with, oh shit, like what would I do in that situation? And it's really realistic in the sense of sort of like the child welfare system in the United States and like how it's, you know, not the greatest, but it's sort of like, what are you gonna do? Like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like kind of shitty on both ends. And it also kind of explores sort of things between what's morally correct, what's legally correct, you know what I mean? So it kind of explores that gray area. And it doesn't really give you any easy answers, which I think was like pretty ballsy for like his first movie to do. I'm not sure, I haven't read the book, so I don't know how similar to the book this is. I know that Ben Affleck and like one other guy like did the screenplay from this, and I know they made some changes, but I'm not sure how significant the changes were. So if anybody's read the book, let me know about that. But So I don't know. I kind of feel like we'll have to spoil it a little bit just to talk about, you know, what the kind of question is at the center of it. So the weird thing about this movie, because I didn't really know hardly anything. Like I said, I didn't read the book. I kind of knew that it was like a mystery about a missing child. That's pretty much all I knew about it going in. So I didn't anticipate all the twists and turns that this takes. You know what I mean? I had no idea like where it was going. And I think that's like a better way to go into it. Yeah, Kelly G says Amy Ryan was awesome in that movie. She absolutely was. I know I've seen her in other things, although I can't really place her, but she was just like such, she was just like such a fucking horrible, horrible person. She's kind of like sympathetic, I guess, but she's just like such a dirtbag that it's like really, really hard to like sympathize with her, even though her kid gets kidnapped. It's just like, I don't know, maybe that's a mean thing to say. But yeah, so apparently this book too, I guess the book, the two characters at the heart of this who are named Patrick and Angie, and they're kind of like, they're sort of like PIs, but they don't usually do this type of missing kid thing. They usually track down people. They're like, they do like skip traces and stuff, or like people that, you know, owe people money and take off, or, you know, shit like that. So this is kind of like a case that they take on, but there's more books about them. I think this might be the second or third one in the series, maybe the fifth one, but there's like several books that that writer wrote about these two characters. So they're like PIs, and there's this little girl, she's 4, and her name is Amanda, and she gets abducted out of her apartment. She lives there with her single mother. Now, the story is that the single mother, I was just across the street at my friend's house watching TV for an hour after I put my little kid to bed, and somebody came in the house and took her. Well, that's what the story is. So, like, you know, the media comes and everybody's like, oh my God, this little girl, and she's gone and everything like that. And everybody's like sympathetic toward the mom. But the little girl's aunt and uncle, who live in the same apartment, they live like upstairs from the mom. They're like, okay, well, we don't think the cops are, you know, doing their job quick enough, because it's already been like 2 or 3 days. And they're like, the kid's maybe dead by now, or we don't know where she is. So they're like, we don't think the cops are doing that well. So you guys are PIs, you live in this neighborhood, you know, people around here, you know, a lot of criminals. And we think that maybe it would be better for you, like, you could find out some information that maybe the cops wouldn't be able to find out, because they're not as familiar with the people in this neighborhood. So they hire the two of them, Patrick and Angie. And pretty soon they find out some shit that the cops were not able to find out, because they know all these people in the neighborhood. The first thing they find out is that, no, the mom absolutely was not, like, across the street watching TV when the girl got kidnapped. She was actually at the bar, as she was pretty much every night, because she was an alcoholic. And she was doing coke with this other dirtbag, like her boyfriend, in the bathroom. So they were just, like, in there, like, fucking doing lines of coke for hours and hours. And then the little girl got kidnapped. What they find out later on after that, too, is that the little girl was maybe, they kind of think maybe, like, the cops at first think, oh, there's this child molester that just got out of prison or something like that, and he just, like, moved to the area. So they think maybe he might be involved, but they're like, well, he usually likes little boys, not little girls, but we're keeping him on the radar. But one thing that Patrick and Angie find out is that the mom, Helene, of the little girl, had stolen a shit ton of money from this drug dealer, like a Haitian named Cheese. That's not his real name, but obviously. That's
his gangster name.
Yeah. Which, not super intimidating, but okay.
Cheese was funny, though.
I did actually like Cheese. I mean, he's a criminal, obviously, but he was a good character. He was only in like one or two scenes. Yeah. But yeah, he was a good character.
He saw himself as sophisticated and enlightened.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
But so they find out that she stole a bunch of money from him. So they surmise that Cheese had the little girl kidnapped as essentially ransom to get the money back. So a whole kind of thing ensues. And really, I was like watching the movie, and at the point where they're like, okay, because he at first says, no, I don't have the kid. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then later on, he calls the police and say, no, I do have the kid. We're going to do an exchange. And then they do an exchange. I'm like, wow, this is happening already? It's like, this is a really short movie. You know what I mean? Because I was like, wow, I thought this movie was like 2 hours long. And I was like, it went by really fast. But the thing about it is, like, they do the exchange and it goes away, and you think that, like I said, okay, I'm just gonna spoil it. You think that the little girl gets killed. You're led to believe that the little girl dies by falling into the quarry. Like, either she gets killed, like, in the crossfire, or she falls in, or whatever. So you're kind of led to believe that she dies, and that Cheese had her. Cheese gets killed during the fight. All this other kind of shit ensues. And you think that's, like, the end of the story. Shit, the little girl's dead. They have a funeral. Everything like that. But then it comes to light that there is way more to this fucking plot going on than you think. Because Patrick finds out later on, when he's talking to, like, somebody else, that... or he's talking to Ed Harris, who's actually fantastic in this. I'm surprised he didn't get a fucking nomination for this. He's one of the cops that's, like, working with the PIs. And he says something kind of, like, offhand one time when he's kind of drunk that makes Patrick go, he told me some other shit earlier on. So he starts to put together, maybe Remy, that cop, like, knows more about this fucking plot than he let on at first, because he lied about some shit. So he basically finds out that the cops knew about the money being stolen before the drug dealer actually knew about it, and the cops were actually kind of involved in this whole exchange situation, and it was like a setup. And it turns out that the little girl is actually still alive. Now, where the moral quandary comes into it, there's kind of a subplot too, which I'll get to in a second. Where the moral quandary kind of comes to is that the little girl is still alive, but the little girl is living with Morgan Freeman. Like, not actual Morgan Freeman, but Morgan Freeman's character, who is a retired cop. Because they thought that her mom was such a scumbag that the little girl would be better off with a loving family. Because Morgan Freeman's character in this, who was, like, the chief of police or whatever, he had had a child murdered, like, many years ago, so he kind of, like, knew the pain of that.
He didn't have a child murdered. A child of his got murdered.
A child of his got murdered, yeah. Yeah, that sounded weird.
Yeah.
Have that child murdered.
That child murdered.
Yeah, I worded that badly. Thank you for catching that. But yes, have that child murdered. Yeah. Morgan Freeman has child murdered. On the fucking front of the paper. Yeah, he had his 12-year-old daughter. You know, she got murdered. He didn't do it, obviously. Somebody else did it. So he had, you know, so they basically concocted this big plot, like, to take the little girl away and make the mom think she was dead because the mom was such a dirtbag. She was a drunk. She was a drug addict. She was a drug mule. She was just, like, all around shitbag. I mean, she was just kind of like a shitty white trash person. And so they thought she would be better off. Now, the interesting moral conundrum that this brings up is that Patrick, one of the PIs, he actually believes, he's like, look, this is, like, all the shit you did, like, all of this, you know, rigmarole that you went through, this whole conspiracy, you know, whether or not she was better with you or whether that's her mom, and it's like, you don't really have any right to take her away from her mom. Like, if you really thought she was in danger, why didn't you go through the proper channels? Why didn't you go through Child Protective Services? Why didn't you do that? And so there's that, but then his girlfriend, interestingly, is like, you know, why don't you just leave the little girl with them? It's like, they obviously love her, they have the money, they have the resources, you know, to raise her, and it's like, what's going to happen if you take her back to her scumbag mom, and, you know, it's just, she's just hanging out with a bunch of fucking drug dealers. Yeah, and that's the thing, and it's just like, I like that the movie just kind of, like, leaves it ambiguous, because honestly, like, they give the kid back to the mom, but then at the end, like, the little girl seems okay, but, like, the mom's like, oh, bye, going out on a date. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I need a babysitter. You know what I mean? So they kind of leave it to a thing where, yeah, you kind of feel like probably...
The moral of the story is that sometimes doing the right thing is actually the wrong thing to fucking do. That's what the story was actually meant.
Yeah.
He should have never done that.
I mean, I get where he was coming from. He was
took a big step down going back to where she came from. All right, fucking that guy was a chief of police. He was saving the kid. Had he gone through the proper routes, he probably never would have been able to get the kid anyway. And it just would have ended up in the hands of somebody else who couldn't take care of him. They wanted the kid. Yeah, he stole the baby. He stole the baby from a bunch of people that would have ruined it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward...
Yeah.
I mean, I get where he's coming from. Like, he was just kind of like, hey, this is the right way to do things, and you didn't have any right, which, Yeah, you could say you didn't. They didn't really have any right to take that girl's that woman's baby. That was her. That was her kid.
Rights had nothing to do with it.
But when you kind of saw like the shit, I was kind of like, yeah. So I like that this kind of brought up this whole conundrum of like, this is actually what the child welfare system is like. It's this complicated. Yeah. You know, there aren't any easy solutions. It's like sometimes there aren't any good solutions. Just like in this case.
Societies will have these mechanisms by which try to control this, you know what I mean? They try to control the chaos. It kind of works. I mean, you just can't have a world where people just go around stealing each other's kids either.
You know what that's what I'm saying. Either. Because, you know, if you want to go that way, you could be like, well, why don't they just do that to all the kids? Everybody will have their kids taken away. And I don't think that should... You might be opening a door that you don't want to open.
That's why they have it the other way. That's why they have it this way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That there's a system. But, look, man, super rich and powerful people fucking can pay to break those systems and do whatever they want. Really, that chief of police was just doing what people richer than him do. All right? Because they're responsible enough and intelligent enough to make a good decision. All right? It's not like it's just some crackheads decided to steal a baby. It's people who fucking were professionals. They're like, we can't let that baby fucking be with that family or go to the system and fuck them up. We'll take it. And fucking raise it as our own.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to take it and sell it, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was, you know, which when you think about it, that was a traditional adoption. I mean, that would have happened fucking hundreds of years ago. If you just saw some peasant beating up on some child and you're a lord or a lady, you just give me that kid. They'd just take it.
What are you even doing?
Yeah, they would just take it. And they'd just raise it as their own. You know, they would. Sometimes they did that. Or they'd bring it into house and raise it as house staff and keep it out of the damn ghetto where it came from, somewhere up in fucking Ireland or something. You know, they just did shit like that. So really what he did is no different than what was done for over the past thousands of years.
Yeah, like you said, it's just kind of like, yeah, we do have a system in place.
So it is.
For that reason, because like you said, we can't just go around having people snatching other people's kids willy-nilly, because obviously that's going to lead to really, really terrible outcomes most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people will be snatching them for all kind of like nefarious reasons.
Right, but like I said, the caveat is that in societies always have elites that can make those decisions and do make those decisions. They have the money to make those decisions, and not all of them good people, okay? But no, they got people that'll just buy a kid, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's all illegal and shit, but they're probably buying it from human services anyway. Imagine, we've done stories here on the show where it turned out, was it back in the 70s, where parts of the Catholic Church were selling and pimping out wayward schoolgirls to the police?
I mean, I gotta rewatch that documentary.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some weird shit that's happened, you know what I mean? So in this case, if you ask me, the police chief did the right thing, you know? They're like, well, I need a kid, and fucking I'll raise this one good, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, they'd heard about it from...
Yeah.
And like I said, yeah, you can say... I do like the way they portrayed the mom, though, because she seems... Very much. I mean, she's just a disgusting person. She's like a drunk. She's a drug addict. She's like, fuck you. She's like, she's very, very like white trash.
Yeah.
And obviously she didn't really give that much of a shit about the kid because she's just like leaving the kid by herself in the house, apparently. Like, yes, her sister and brother-in-law lived upstairs and I presume they watched her, but... You know, she just didn't really seem to, like, care that much. She would go to the bar and, like...
There's a lot of gray in this world.
Yeah, that's... that. And I like that this movie kind of explores that. Because there's a little bit of a thing, like, I wouldn't even call it a side plot, because it's sort of, like, related. But remember when I said earlier that there was, like, this child molester that initially they thought had kidnapped the little girl, or, like, that's what the cops were thinking, and he was living in this neighborhood, and there's a thing where it comes out later where a little boy goes missing, and they figure out that this child molester that they were thinking for the other crime did it, and so they bust into that guy's house and they find out that he's killed the little boy, at which point Patrick, the PI, he just goes in there, sees the guy in the bathroom, and he's like, I'm sorry, like, it was an accident, he says. He killed the little boy, and Patrick just shoots him in the head, just like executes him pretty much. And everybody...
What an accident, either. There was tape everywhere.
So he just, like, looks at him and just shoots him in the head. Yeah. But then he starts to feel bad about it later, because he's like, that's straight-up murder. But everybody else in the world was just kind of like, yeah, you did good. I mean, what the fuck? That dude wasn't contributing anything. So the fact that Patrick, like, you could tell that he was a very, like, upright, he always wanted to do the right thing, but his... I don't know. I feel like the fact that he even felt bad about shooting a fucking disgusting child molester and murderer, you know, yeah, you killed him in cold blood. Yeah, that's murder. But who the fuck's going to miss that guy? Well, nobody.
The movie's trying to press the boundaries on fucking what rule of law is about.
Yeah, exactly.
Our civilization is run by these institutions that are going by these set rules. That's kind of the default setting. All right. But it's like a sledgehammer. You know what I mean? It can make mistakes, and it kind of does its job, but maybe not really, and so that's what the movie's about. The movie's trying to strain your credibility, saying, you know what I mean? It's trying to push the boundaries of these things, that, you know, it could happen another way, but really, the gray that these people were doing could have only really kind of happened in a situation where you had that system in the background running. If those systems weren't there, it'd be all out chaos just everywhere. It'd be even worse.
Yeah.
So I think the systems kind of put some kind of order to the chaos. But like I said, there's always people, elites or people that know better or people that are boots on the ground that can get in there and kind of fucking push things in the direction to make more sense, because institutions don't make any sense. If you're ever in the army like I was, you said the army's just big and dumb. You know, it kind of works. Not really. Most of it is just what we did on the ground. We forced it to work. But, you know, you can only be in so many places at once, you know?
Well, the thing about it and the thing that's...
piecemeal.
Yeah, the thing that's kind of going around this is that, one, you know, humans and life in general are complicated.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need systems in place. But, obviously, systems, by their very nature, because everything is complicated, they're not going to be one size fits all. And there's always going to be cases that fall between the cracks. Or there's always going to be things where it's, like, gray area where there's really no good solution. And you kind of have to hammer something out. So, you can't use the same... rules for everything. Like I said, you have to look at everything on a case-by-case basis. So I like that they went into that with... Because I feel like the thing where he shot the child molester was a lot more cut and dried, even though he felt bad about it afterward. But the thing about the little girl being taken, you know, was a lot more... ambiguous. I mean, it's not as ambiguous you might think, because I was kind of like, yeah, you should probably, like, leave her with Morgan Freeman, because...
Yeah, I don't think that was ambiguous. I think shooting the guy who murdered the kid was more ambiguous, because by rights, he should have stood trial. You know what I mean? You can't just be judge, jury, and executioner on somebody, even though you can. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can get in a lot of trouble, though.
Yeah,
you shouldn't do
I'm
it.
Just saying in that situation, I don't think anyone's going to convict you.
But you shouldn't have done it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He did feel bad about it. He said he was ashamed that he had done it.
It wouldn't have been murder. They would have said it was probably something like manslaughter, that he lacked calm reasoning and cool reflection.
Yeah, once he saw, like, the dead fucking kid.
It had got him from manslaughter, so it wasn't really murder. But he shouldn't have done it. But I understand why he did it.
Yeah, I do too. I probably, you know, honestly,
I would have been tempted. I would have done it.
I probably would have done the same thing. I'm not gonna lie.
And I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
When you saw the scene, you saw the little dead boy there, you know, and he said, "No, I didn't." Yeah, man, fuck you, bam. You know, that's.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of feel like a lot of people would have done that, and I'm not gonna blame him one little bit.
Law would say it was manslaughter, though. That's just
I know.
Deal with.
That's what I'm saying, but. I don't know. I kind of feel like it. Well, I don't know. It could go either way, depending on what jury you got. But I think, like I said, it's more ambiguous in that way. But it's just kind of like they straight up kidnapped that kid, right? Yeah. I mean, they kidnapped her and made the mom think that she was not only had been kidnapped, but made her think that the kid was dead. They did a funeral and everything.
Yeah.
They set it up where it seemed like she had fallen into the quarry and they never found the body and blah blah blah. So. You know, the mom was really... And honestly, like, the mom, before the exchange shit happened, you know, the mom actually was more sympathetic. She was, I mean, she was crying. She's like, promise me you'll find him. Promise me you'll find her. And it's like, I promise I'll never do drugs again. Like, if you find her and all this other kind of stuff, which maybe she wouldn't have, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't know how it's going to go. But to be honest, if I don't know, it's hard for me to say. If I was in that situation, I feel like everybody's probably had this discussion that's watched this movie. If I was in that situation, Casey Affleck's dude in this movie, I feel like I would have gone with the girlfriend. I'd have been like, let's just leave her there.
Yeah, I'd have left her there.
I would have just left her there.
Because she was already in a good home.
I mean,
Child Protective Services couldn't have put her in a better place.
And the thing about it is that, you know, you call the cops and then, you know, what if she goes back to with her mom and, like, her mom goes and ODs somewhere and the little girl starves to death? Or what if... You know, what if somebody comes and shoots up the place and the little girl gets killed? It's like, it seems like there's more that could go wrong with the mom than with the other family. I mean, you never know what shit's going to happen, but... So, like I'm saying, even though it was like...
I left her there.
Yeah, I mean, even though it was illegal, yeah, it was kidnapping and they made her, the mom think she was dead, I kind of would have been tempted to leave the little girl where she was.
She would have went up, she would have ended up in Child Protective Services and they'd have placed her with a mediocre family. That's what happened.
Yeah, or she might not have gotten adopted at all. Although she was like a cute little white girl, so probably she would have, but...
She'd ended up in a mediocre house with a bunch of other ones like that. Professional adopters, basically. They have this, what do they call them?
Like foster family. Like a foster family. Yeah.
And then it should have been, you know, but no, man. Why would you just let her stay with the chief of police in a damn great family and go to university and, you know, not even know that, you know, you were adopted? Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, I do kind of feel like I probably would have been tempted. Like I said, I got why he was like, you know, it's the right thing to do because what you dudes did was illegal. But I'm not going to lie. I would have been tempted to just leave the little girl there.
I think the dude's a chump, if you ask me. That's chumpy. Chumpy chump. Yeah.
Well, everybody else in the movie agreed with you. Yeah. I mean, everybody was like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, he's a chump.
Seriously. I know they did a lot of bad shit. Like, everybody that was involved in the conspiracy. Even the cops, like Remy and shit like that. But, yeah. I think for the sake of it, the little girl, I think she should have stayed at the other house. But... But I like how they kind of just left it. So it's like, it could go either way. We don't know. Just like real life. So, you know, yeah, this was actually like a really good movie. I was like really involved. And as I said, it had so many twists and turns that I was not expecting. I basically thought this was like a missing kid movie. And it is. But then when you get to the one part where they're doing the exchange and then it goes off on this other like conspiracy direction. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I wasn't really expecting it. And as I said, I really, really like... You don't really see depictions of, like, the white working class in Boston. You don't really see that in movies a lot. Like, because these are some scumbags in this fucking movie. Like, I mean, the mom is one of the better ones. Like, when they're doing the investigation and, like, they're going around, like, all these bars, like, everybody is a fucking dirtbag. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't know, it's just, like, really, really funny. And honestly, I don't know if this is from the book or this was from Ben Affleck's screenplay, but like the first part of the movie where he's going around like investigating and he's talking to all the locals and stuff, some of the dialogue in there is fucking hilarious. Like everything is just, I mean, they swear like a fucking blue streak, but just the shit they say is just so, so fucking funny.
Yeah, I lived there for about 6 years in Boston. Well, one of the suburbs of Boston, most of it in Somerville, Medford, that area.
This was set in Dorchester.
Dorchester, yeah. I've never been over there, but I know where they're talking about. This is in the 90s. Costs a lot of money to live there, but they make pretty good money. If you're not in some kind of union or something, filled with a bunch of college students, too. But, no, I had fun there. It's all right. But, yeah, it's... It's not like New York at all. I kind of like New York in a certain way a little bit better. I think the people are a little tougher. Although, what you're talking about, you know, like the North End and the East End, you know, the Italian guys and the Irish type.
Yeah,
guys.
This was mostly Boston Irish.
Yeah, they're pretty, I guess you say, pretty tough, you know. In a certain way. They had their own, it's an urban kind of thing, you know. But Yeah, that's pretty much how they sound, just like that. I mean, that's them.
Yeah, I mean, they, like I said, they got a bunch of locals to be, and Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck are both from that area.
Boston is the American interpretation of London, really. It's a city that kind of looks like London. It's when it was colonial, it was built to look like it. There's a lot of all the names are British sounding, you know. You'd run into Europeans, you know, that'd come over and visit, and they thought that all of America was like that, and I'd have to go, nah, this is Boston, and Boston is like something out of England. You know, the rest of the United States isn't like that. You know?
Yeah,
like
shit.
I had to convince this damn German girl that subways weren't everywhere, and that you couldn't take a subway from Boston to Mississippi. You know.
No.
There isn't subways everywhere. We have public transit all over. Because there's no concept of how sparsely populated a lot of America is.
I mean,
is, you know?
New England, all up there, yeah, they have trains up there where you can go from place to place, but not down here, you don't.
No.
We got trains, but.
They go from.
We got Amtrak and we got SunRail, which goes just around Orlando and the outskirts, and that's about it.
You might have something.
And nobody rides it.
Yeah, nobody rides it. It's not. The population isn't dense enough, you know. New England is old. It's much older than the rest of the United States because it spread out in that direction. But no, like, there isn't even hardly anything that I would call a forest or anything in New England. I mean. Yeah, maybe there is, but they're small compared to what you'd have here. You know, people don't get it. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, down here,
Texas is twice the size of fucking Germany. Texas is.
Yeah, just Texas.
Twice the size of Germany.
Well, and I've told people before, like, from the UK when they came here, I was like, look, I can drive for 5 hours and still be in Florida.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
You know, people are like, well, you know, fucking the Europeans are also upset about guns and shit. Same thing up in New England area. They're upset about guns. Well, they have police protection. Here, man, they're placed in Mississippi. Police response time might be an hour and a half.
You're on your own. Depending on how rural you live.
Yeah. Maybe none at all. You're on your own. Yeah.
Well, the thing about places like Florida and stuff like that is that, you know, cities are so far apart. And even within cities, it's not, like Orlando and Tampa and stuff, like, they have a downtown, but there's so much stuff that's out in the suburbs, and so many people live out in the suburbs, that there's really no reason. I mean, you really need a car.
Yeah.
There's just really no way to get around in Florida without one.
That there are places in Mississippi and Louisiana where, and also Alabama, where there are houses on dirt roads, and those roads don't have any names. No names, just numbers.
Yeah.
It'll be like 42/105. There's no name there.
What are you doing,
Pokemon? And they don't even have mail service. You have to go to post office to get their mail.
God, that's got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
I've seen some places like that.
And it might be, you know, 20-minute drive to go to the post office.
Good. Pookie, what are you doing? She's tearing my notebook up.
Yeah, and you'd think it would be like a damn shack or something you'd see in the movies, but no, it'd be a normal house. Normal looking house. You know, like something you'd see in a neighborhood around here. A recent construction, too. Just almost basically totally off the grid, although they did have electric power. It's just weird, you know. No internet, though, probably. They'd probably have it now. Probably have HughesNet.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah,
That's what we had when we first moved here, and I was just like, yeah, this is not acceptable.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
It's good for a hurricane.
If you have a hurricane, like, it knocks it out. Yeah, it's pretty good for that. As long as you don't have to do anything within, you know,
a minute or
something.
That Elon Musk Skylink, what are they calling it? That's going to be great. Starlink? I think, is that up yet?
I don't think it's up here.
It's going to be like, wireless internet, high speed for everybody. I don't think it's free, though. I don't know. Maybe it is. Probably not, huh?
I don't know. What are you asking me for?
All those satellites.
Kelly says, talking about the movie, now it will become a cycle of neglect and abuse because she was returned to the drug-addicted mother who obviously didn't change, so whatever. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking it probably would have been better for the kid to just, like...
Yeah, it was a chumpy solution. He was just leaving her where she was.
Yes, I know. Like I said, he was trying to do the right thing, but sometimes the right thing isn't the right thing. Sometimes the right thing is the wrong thing.
Yeah,
it's the legal thing, but in that case, probably not the best thing for the kid. So I probably would have... I was kind of like the whole time, I'm like, why don't you just listen to your girlfriend? Like, just leave her there.
She was already placed in the best house she could be in.
Yeah. I mean, they actually wanted her.
Yeah.
And
if Child Protective Services was working, she wouldn't have been with that family anyway, the drug family.
Yeah, they would have taken her.
They would have taken it anyway.
But I guess since everybody in that neighborhood was such a dirtbag, like, nobody reported her because it was just kind of like, well, she's no more dirtbaggy than me.
Yeah, but that's not good.
I know. But exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why she didn't get reported. Like, in normal circumstances, she would have been reported, and the kid would have been taken away. And rightfully so. I think that there's good... I mean, some people just should not be parents, obviously. And there should be mechanisms for taking kids away from those people. You shouldn't just be able to go in and snatch people's kids willy nilly. But you know,
there's just so many of them. What are you gonna do with them? You know, that's why they do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
There's just so many of them.
It's true. But yeah, this was actually a really good movie. I've been wanting to see it for a really long time, and so I'm finally glad I finally got around to it. So if it was you that sent it, Louis, thank you very much for sending it. If it wasn't, thank you whoever it was, because it was a long time ago, and I'm glad I finally got around to it. So sorry it took so long. But yeah, so that'll do it for today, I guess. So tomorrow night's the main show. And guess what we're doing? Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about some Happy Little Trees. We're going to talk about Bob fucking Ross. No relation.
Why Bob Ross? How is that paranormal or non-solved? Just so people wanted that.
Because people asked me.
That's what they wanted.
They said, you should do a show about Bob Ross because he's like really interesting. I think it was like a couple weeks ago we were talking about something else. Right. And somebody said, you should do a show about Bob Ross. You said yesterday that sounds like a fun show when I told you. Right. He forgets what he said
we'll
from day to day.
We'll
but
see.
Yeah, I think it'll be
interesting that we'll do it. If not, we'll
I think
just
it'll
get
be. We'll get drunk and do a painting.
Yeah, goof on it.
We should. Oh my God. We should do a painting. Like while we're on the show.
I don't have any paint.
I've got some paint that I used to make. I'll put a piece of paper back there. We'll do some Happy Little Trees. Okay. That'll be fucking funny. It's too bad you don't have a Bob Ross wig. You need an Afro wig. Do you have an Afro wig?
No.
Shit. Oh well.
No.
We should have planned better for this. Oh, well. All right. So we'll see you guys again tomorrow evening. Thanks for dropping by.